Welcome to On and Off the Field, Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. I am joined with my host, On the Field Coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation. Here we go.
In the building, shout out. And it's your boy, Mr. You Better Live. You're off the field, Coach. Yours truly, Mr. A.K.A. Mr. Coach Readback, Mr. Football Know-It-All. This is episode 2. Shout out, man. What's up, Coach?
What's going on? I'm so excited, brother.
Look, bro, we got something coming, boy. We got something coming down the pike. They ain't ready. So, look, episode 2, right?
Yes. Queens of the Court.
Queens of the Court, present and future.
This is the past episode.
And so we express the concept. So it's really not a, like we talk, it's not an episode. It's more
a
like
series.
Something we doing every year. Something
yes. we're going to implement. All year long.
Right.
All
and
year
we're
going to
include the kings of the field or the, you know, the men. We're going to do football.
We're going to incorporate everybody.
Kings of the Court, too. Yeah. With the men, the basketball, past, present, and future. So this is something that we're going to do, y'all. It'll be something annually because we're going to keep up with the past of the greats, the present greats, and the future of sports in basketball, football, and whatever other sports we want to cover.
So. And with the women's popularity, this is perfect because last night there was the NBA draft.
Right.
You had the NBA draft.
Did you catch it?
Oh, man. It was awesome.
Look. Now,
first pick, Caitlin Clark, Indiana.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reese went 7.
She went 7, but you know, she went to the Chicago Sky with Carmella Cardoza.
See,
Carmella went 3rd, Reese went 7th. Yes.
Wow. Can you,
so 6'7 Cardoza and 6'3 Reese on the front line.
Boy.
Yes.
That's going to be rough.
That's going to be tough, brother. That's going to be tough.
Wow. So who else was interesting last night in the draft? You mentioned off where. and we're going to take this slow and, you know, we're going to be careful. The number 2 pick was interesting, I heard.
Yes. Cameron Brink, I think, is her last name.
Okay. Is she really gifted?
She's gifted. She's talented.
Is she both gifted and talented?
She's gifted and talented.
What kind of wardrobe does she have on?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that I'll say this. I enjoy watching their wardrobes
than the men's.
Come
on, man.
The men's fashion, they don't know how to dress. They be wearing them clown suits.
Everybody is. I was with my mom this morning. I went in and hollered at my Duke. And we was talking about the draft. She talking about women, the WNBA. She said, do you, the women just passing the men's?
Well,
even everybody's noticing.
It's exciting right now. It's exciting, which is why I'm so excited about this guest, because before all this took place, you had a seed of women's basketball planted in this country,
right?
And this person coming up next, it was one of those seeds,
right?
Of basketball,
come from that soil.
Yes,
I like to call it that soil.
Absolutely,
one of the 4 women.
Oh my gosh, one of the Mount Rushmores.
You know, we got to shout to Rushmore.
I mean, whenever you talk about a Hall of Famer,
we don't want to say her name. I don't want to say her name until I do her. Until I do the introduction. So we got to keep her in. So look, let's finish with this because she's probably gonna call in a minute now. I can't wait. Anyway, so 12 picks, 12 teams.
12 teams.
That was a trip to watch. First round after 12 picks,
and this was the first time they had a crowd. This was the first. They sold tickets and sold out.
But I love, you know what I like? Exactly. I love the response of the crowd with each.
They were fired up.
They was fired up, bro.
It was like an NFL draft crowd. They were fired up.
Do you remember who the number 11, pick, they were really happy with her for some reason. Dark skin, I can't remember her name. She's like 6'11", bro. Huge. I can't remember what her name was, but they was really happy about it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't have it memorized, but
people are not used to
after the 3 or 4. I swear I stopped at after Reese.
But this is huge for them to have the WNBA draft and how they're doing it and how popular it's getting. I told you that's because of the level of talent coming out of college.
Oh, absolutely. The popularity, it spreads. You go from one stepping stone to the next. You build on what happened with the college basketball season, and now you got to the women's pro game.
Right. Well, man, the draft, I caught it. I was looking, but I kind of was doing something else. But for the most part, shout out to the WNBA, man, for that.
Oh, yes.
The first round picks.
Man, it was impressive.
So we got the second round tonight?
No, that was everything was last night. It was first, second, and third rounds were last night.
See, I thought they just did one round. They did all of them.
They did them all.
Okay, all right.
You know, and they do like in the NFL, in the later rounds, they do that speed draft. You know, so they'll make the picks and like they'll show the picture of five players that's got drafted in the past, you know, few minutes and stuff like
that. How do you think Caitlin do at the next level?
I think she'll do fine, man. She's ready. She can shoot. She can shoot. And that's a key in this day and age with basketball.
Is that enough, though?
She can, no, it's enough for her. That's all she's got to do. See, this is where she's going to show her true talents because she doesn't have to be everything to the whole team.
She's got
support now.
Right. She had to do that with Iowa.
Aaliyah Boston is going to be running that pick and roll, high pick and roll with her, playing defense, running the court with her, with the other players that will be on her level now. She'll finally play with people on her level for the first time.
I got a messy question. Caitlin went to who again?
The Indiana Fever.
All right. What's going to happen when the Fever meet the Sky with Reese and them?
I guess we're going to have another rivalry like Bird and Magic.
That's going to be fire.
Like Bird and Magic. From the female side. On the female side.
That's going to be fire.
Yeah. On the female side.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, the first game that Caitlin Clark plays for the Fever, they're going to break the attendance record and the ratings record.
Who do they play?
I don't even know who they play.
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter.
Just the fact that Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark's first WNBA game, the United States will be watching.
I got to bring this up, dude. Because I could see people's gripe. They said that they're not celebrating the winner of the South Carolina, but they're still talking more about Caitlin than South Carolina, and South Carolina won.
Well, I told you that in the last one. You know, any other season, South Carolina would be the talk of the town. They went undefeated. Anytime you go undefeated wire to wire, you get the talk of the town.
They should be the talk of the town.
But there's so many complexities to that. You had women's basketball on the rise. You had a star going after records. And sometimes an individual star, and you know, will outshine a team's record.
So the biggest story
was Caitlin Clark. Yeah.
Hold on, we got it right here. Yeah.
Coach.
Hello, Coach.
Hi, how are you?
Good, all how right. you doing? We got Patricia Trish Roberts in the building. Welcome to On and Off the Field.
Coach.
Can you hear us good, Coach?
I'm not good, but I can hear you.
Okay, do you need us to come up? How we sounding now? How we sound now, Coach? Can you hear us?
Okay, I'm okay.
Okay, all right.
It's a pleasure having you on the show. Once again, we got to give you some hand claps for pulling up. You know, you are our second guest.
You.
And so we have been keeping the people in suspense as to who we had coming on. We wouldn't even say your name. Because, see, and here's why. Because I got to give you your just desserts with your introduction. So if you could give me a few minutes, if I could tell these people a little bit about you, if you don't mind.
Okay, that's fine.
Listen, we have on this show a Hall of Famer. We got the first black to play at Tennessee. We got the 76th Olympian that played in the. We got one that played in the first inaugural Women's Pro Basketball League. She is the first black female head coach at the University of Maine, and coach also at University of Michigan as a head coach. Coach for the American Basketball League. We have none other than Patricia Trish.
Roberts
in the building.
Oh,
shout
wow.
out.
Wow. What an introduction.
It's worth it. Yes.
You're the first queen of the court that's been on here. So shout out to you for that. You're making history. You're the first queen of the court that's been on and off the field. And it's an honor for us.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Listen, we're going to get right into this. We was already talking when you called, and we were talking about, you know, of course, sports, but we want to get to know you. We always do this icebreaker because our coach, Boston, he has an interesting answer for this question, but we want to get your take on this. What's your favorite NFL team? And if you don't
Kansas
have a favorite
City?
One, okay, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
All right, okay. Kansas City.
Is that a recent Kansas City or, okay, have you always been Kansas City?
Yeah, it's a recent. I'm jumping on the win bandwagon. You know,
okay.
I'm from Georgia. And the Atlanta Falcons is my team, but right now, Kansas City.
So when did you stop being in Atlanta? When did you, you know, switch to be KC? Just because of Patrick Mahomes or what?
Well, just recently, I guess in the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. So let's get started. So tell everybody, where are you from?
I'm from Georgia, a little small town called Monroe.
Okay. Where is that in relation to Atlanta?
About 45 miles east of Atlanta.
Okay.
And about 24 miles east of Athens, where the University of Georgia is.
Ah. Coach, what, how far is that from McDonough, Georgia?
Probably about an hour and a half drive.
Okay. I was just there recently. That's how I was just asking. Okay, all right. Yeah.
So tell everybody, how did you get started playing basketball?
Well, I have 4 older brothers. Okay. I'm the youngest of 7. And my siblings used to play in the yard all the time, even my sisters. And I was the odd one out. They would never let me play. So my oldest sister, once she got a little bit older and started dating and, you know, doing her nails and stuff, yeah. She didn't want to mess up her nails and her makeup. And so one day my brother told me to come on, and they realized how good I was. So they start choosing me over my other sister.
Wow. And that was my next question.
Right.
Being a female during that time, what did you find your competition? Obviously, so it was your brothers. Did you play, then was that the norm, playing against guys?
Yeah, my mother didn't let us out of the yard very much. So we had to find things to do with each other. So we played a lot of basketball.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So let me ask you, Coach, what challenges did you find yourself facing, you know, trying to play basketball as a black woman, you know, during the 60s, in that era? What kind of challenges did you find yourself facing?
Well, you know, being in Georgia, I'm right here in the middle of civil rights. I went to all black school up to the 9th grade. And so I didn't play organized basketball until I went to the 9th grade, and that was first year of integration.
Okay. Mm. Wow. Mm. Wow. That's huge.
Wow.
Coach, that's huge, Coach.
Yeah, it is.
That is.
And I remember the very first day of practice.
Tell us what.
First day of practice, my coach put all the black kids on one end and all white kids on the other.
Oh, my God.
Did they run a scrimmage or what? What was he doing?
It wasn't a scrimmage. It was separation. That's what it was.
What? They practiced that way?
It eventually changed. Okay. It eventually changed.
Wow. Now, where did you play high school?
Monroe Area Comprehensive High School.
Okay. And while you were there, did you have any dreams of playing college? I mean, was that even a thought?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I graduated from high school in 73. 72 was the inception of Title IX. So,
okay. Wow.
You know, when I graduated high school, I didn't know anything about college basketball. I remember receiving a letter from a coach asking if I wanted to come and play, but I didn't even know I was going to college. I hadn't applied for colleges or anything. And when I graduated from high school, I went and got me a job in a factory, and I was sewing top stitching the band on work pants. And I did that for about 2 months, and I told my mom I couldn't do that no more. So I went back over to my high school and talked to my guidance counselor, and I'll never forget her. Her name was Miss Barnes. I said, "Miss Barnes, what do I need to do to go to college?" And I filled up several. She said, "Well, where do you want to go?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I got a letter from North Georgia College. The coach wanted me to come play basketball."
Oh, wow.
So that's what I did. I filled out the application at North Georgia College.
So you went to North Georgia, not Tennessee.
Right.
Okay.
So, and North Georgia's a military college.
Really?
It was a military college. And I didn't start college till that January. Because, you know, when I got out of school, I went right to work.
Right.
So I started that winter. I think at that time they were winter quarters, not semesters.
Okay. All right. So when you were selected as a member of the women's USA basketball team, what went into that? What being selected? What kind of process? How did you get selected? What's the process like being selected to the USA women's basketball team?
That was another story, because my coach at North Georgia, after 1 year I was there, she left and got the job at Emporia State in Kansas. So several of the players transferred to Emporia State, and I was one of the ones that transferred to Emporia State.
Really? So you hit the transfer portal back in the 70s.
You know, now that I think about it, I did.
So the transfer portal been around.
So you a pioneer in the transfer portal. Also.
We got to give you credit for that, too.
Yeah.
I told y'all she a queen of the court.
Oh, shout out
to Trish, Coach Trish, the first one to use the transfer portal. First black, we got to put that down. First black female to use the transfer portal. I love it.
Oh my goodness!
Oh,
that's
man,
funny.
So now you're on the team, and so yeah. where was the 76 games held?
They were in Montreal, but I had tried out for several USA basketball teams.
Okay.
And each time I got cut, I tried out for the USA national team. And then the next year before the Olympics, I tried out for the Pan American teams, and I got cut.
Mm.
And I remember the coach for that team came over, and I was one of the last ones to get cut. She said, young lady, she said, you're a good player. She said, but you need to go back to your college and get a little more experience and get a little bit stronger, because I was real tall and skinny back then.
Okay.
And so I, you know, went back to school at Emporia and worked hard and tried to put on some weight and spent a lot of time in the gym. And then a strange thing happened, because when I got cut from that team, this lady came up and handed me a flyer mm-hmm. to come out to California and play in their summer league.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, well, you got to find your own way, but once you get there, she said, I'll get to have you a place to stay, and I can get you some sponsors.
Right.
Okay.
So I found a way to get out there and stayed in a hotel for all summer for that league, and McDonald's was my sponsor. I ate at McDonald's 2 times a day.
Coach, I wanted to ask you a quick question, because you mentioned earlier that you were cut from several teams that you tried out for.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was the what did you come up short at? Was it a skill set situation? Was it a strength and condition situation? What did you have to work at the hardest?
I think it was politics, like in everything.
Wow.
Most of the girls that were on that team played at kind of known schools. You know, and I was at Emporia State. Nobody heard of Emporia State.
Right.
And I'll tell you how I ended up on the Olympic team, to be honest. I played in that summer league in California. 5 of the girls that made the Pan Am team also was in that league.
Mm.
And I got voted MVP of that summer league.
Ooh. Really?
And the Olympic coach lived in California. She came over to our championship game and watched our game.
Who was the coach
and
then?
So there was I still have this article. There was an article in the LA Times.
Wow.
That talked about how I had got cut from the team and how I was tearing this league up and everything. So when I went back to the Olympics that next spring and they had the Olympic tryouts, the Olympic coach had seen me play. You know, she knew I was good.
Right.
And so I made the Olympic team.
She wow. gave you your just due at that point. She had to.
Right.
Yeah.
I got to ask this. You talk about the Olympic team. Was race, of course, I'm guessing race was an issue with being on the Olympic team, was it?
No. It really, well, we were a very close-knit group because
okay.
Billy Moore, the late, great Billy Moore, Olympic coach, expressed to us how important it was, because we were making history.
Right.
We
right.
were the first
right,
ever
right.
women's Olympic basketball team. And she expressed to us how important it was for us to win a medal.
Right.
Wow.
So you really so morale was important on the team.
Oh yeah. Even to this day. Even to this day. We got several that have passed away, but even to this day we are still a very close knit. We have our own little thread that we
I like that.
Talk to every now and then, and we're very close.
People you've been in the trenches with like that, side by side, through the proverbial blood, sweat, and tears, you appreciate mm-hmm. them.
Exactly.
I can kind of, it's synonymous with me being in the military. That's why I brought up morale. You meet people from all walks of life, playing back. I'm sure you've met people from all walks of life, and you've had to mm-hmm. rub shoulders and elbows and team up and lock in with people that were a whole different culture from you, but had to put the culture to the side because it was game time,
Right.
Exactly.
To me, that's it. That's fire. That's powerful. Because you invest in each other. As human beings, we invest in each other when we lock in together,
That's right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I like that. I love that. I'm a, just in case you can't tell, I'm a ex-Navy man.
So the same thing happened when I was in high school. It was our first time integration. And we had 5 kids in my class. We played together. 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, and when we got to 12th grade, we were like, "Y'all, this is it. We won state championship our 12th grade year because we had been together for that long." This day, we meet once a month. I drive down to Monroe because I don't live in Monroe. I live in Decatur, right outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
I drive down there and we have lunch once a month, and just that.
That bond of athletes is strong.
Oh, it's strong.
I have it too.
It's
so
strong,
I get
man.
It. I have
like
it
I
too.
Said, when you've been in the trenches together, you you had a common enemy, which is the other team.
Right. Right. And sometimes your coach.
Yeah, sometimes your coach. So coach,
exactly.
What was Pat Summitt like as a teammate?
Well, during the whole time, I never knew Pat was, the whole time she was on the Olympic team, she was also the head coach at Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah, they hired her when she was 22 years old. She had been the coach at Tennessee for 2 years.
Wait a minute, coach. So you're telling me simultaneously as you were playing with her, she was the coach at Tennessee?
Yeah, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it till towards the end. Because I had mentioned to someone that my coach left Emporia, and I was like, I really don't want to go back. The only reason I transferred there was because she was there. So I jumped in the transfer portal again.
Oh, so you did it twice.
Oh, my goodness. Another first.
Coach, you getting the applause, coach.
You hitting that portal again twice.
You hit it twice on him, coach. I love it.
So, I had mentioned to one of my teammates that, I want to go somewhere closer to home. And, I'm Georgia. Tennessee, Georgia right there, close together, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pat got wind of it. And next thing I know, everywhere I was, there she was, sitting next to me on the bus, sitting next to me in the dining hall, next to me on the bench. In my ear. But she was one of our captains. So I figured she was just trying to be a captain,
She was recruiting you.
She was recruiting.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
She's smart. That is amazing that she was doing that both at the same time. That's amazing.
So she offered you why during the Olympics to come to Tennessee?
Well, she didn't offer me anything. I paid my own way.
Ah,
really?
I've never had a basketball scholarship, even though every team I ever played on, I was always the best player.
So you basically worked and paid for your own
work, study, loans. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Tennessee has never given me anything, even to this day.
That needs to be retroactive somehow. Huh?
They need to.
And you still hold records.
They owe you some money, coach.
You still hold records. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And they won't hang my jersey either. Even though I was first black player to play for Pat, I was the first Olympian that played in that program, I was the first All-American Actually, I was the first All-American for any women's sports at Tennessee.
Really?
I led us to the first Final Four. I broke 11 records when I was there. I think 6 of them still stand today.
Yeah, I know the scoring record. I know is one of them.
I'm in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame 3 times. Once as a player, twice as a trailblazer with the Olympic team, and then with the first Women's Pro League, the WBF. And then last August, I was inducted in the Naismith.
Well, Coach, wow. I didn't even give you half of what you credited for then. I missed it. I got to do your introduction again.
I'm also in the Emporia State Hall of Honor. I'm in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. I'm in the Women in Sports and Education Hall of Fame.
Oh, you are definitely queen of the court.
You're queen of the court.
I can't get my jersey. I'm good enough to be in everybody's Hall of Fame, but I'm not good enough to have my jersey hung in the rafters.
Now we got to get that fixed.
We got to get that fixed. We
need to start a petition.
We're going to send a letter. You know who the AD is at Tennessee, Coach?
Danny White.
White, right. Yeah, and I say that because most of you, for the listeners, when you at the University of Maine, the athletic director was Dr. Kevin White, his dad.
Yep. Wow.
Kevin is his dad.
Wow.
That's right.
So let me ask you this, Coach, kind of on a personal level. Describe some of your experiences, both good and bad.
At Tennessee.
Well, when I was there, it was about 3% minority enrollment.
Okay.
At a university was over 30,000. You know, of course, it's a lot bigger now. I think Tennessee's probably 40, 50,000. I don't know.
Right.
But back then, it's about 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
I felt safer whenever I was inside or around the athletic department.
Okay.
But, you know, going to classes and stuff, I was mostly always the only black person in class. And it wasn't frightening, but, you know, for me, being this little country girl and not having been around a lot of white people, it was different.
Right.
I didn't have a lot of friends other than my basketball team.
Hmm. Did you ever have any death threats while you were at Tennessee?
No death threats. On the road, experienced a lot of negativity when we travel on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They, at Ole Miss, you know, they fly that Confederate flag down there.
Yeah,
I was called the N-word, and, you know, Tennessee is big orange, and whenever we ran into the tunnel at halftime, we ran into the tunnel, they were throwing orange peelings at me.
Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to answer one of the questions later down the road then.
Right.
and I guess the part of the next question is, and obviously I was, you know, in Maine when you were there. At least I can say I had about 6 to 7 other guys from North Jersey that were there with me. And mm-hmm. So it made the whole process of being there a lot better. You know, mm-hmm. if I was lonely, we were all lonely together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but for yourself at Tennessee, how did you handle that social aspect outside of the basketball?
I just had to stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed focused, and luckily, you know, after the Olympics, my mother had gotten me a car. You know, I drove. University of Tennessee was about 3-hour drive from home, so anytime I had an opportunity to drive home, any free time, I went home.
What kind of car was it?
I wanted to know that too. I was going to ask you that too.
It was an Oldsmobile Omega.
What year? What year was it?
They don't even make them anymore.
What year was it, Coach?
What year was it?
Yes.
Oh my God! I don't know.
That one back there with them electric 225s, was it?
No, it wasn't that big. It wasn't one of those big cars. Oh, man, it was a 70 something. It
okay.
was 70, I think it was a 73.
Was,
or 71 or 73.
Now, was
I
that was
remember.
That car, you saying your mom got, was that through the NIL deal?
Oh, that came
was that
from
some NIL money?
Tears from my mama hard working.
So you've been in the NIL and you've been in the portal.
She's a recruit going to Tennessee in a brand new car.
Coach, you've been here before.
No, But you know what? You know what? I got that car because when I went into Tennessee, I was going my senior year. I had to do my student teaching.
Oh, wow.
And Knoxville didn't have no bus. Knoxville's not a town that had bus services, you know. And where I was doing my student, I didn't know where I was doing my student teaching, but I knew it wasn't somewhere I could walk.
Right, right. Oh,
so
wow.
My mother got, because I told her I was going to take a year off, and by then she was like, no, you ain't taking no year out of school.
Wow,
so
wow.
She had an old clunker, and she said, well, I'll just drive this another year or whatever. And she got me one instead.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, a fun fact is, Coach is, her scoring average was 29.9 points per game. And Caitlin Clark's was 31.6 per game, to put it in perspective. Also, and she had averaged 14.2 rebounds per game. Now, that was the missing piece we were talking about with Iowa.
Right. We sure were. We talked about that Iowa had a missing piece. Caitlin, the best shooter probably we'll see in a while, but Iowa kept coming up short. Came up short last year. They beat South Carolina last year, but they came up short to LSU. Then they come up short this year to South Carolina. Missing piece.
You would have been that missing piece. Yeah.
Rebounded.
That's right. We talked about that.
Offense sells tickets. Defense wins games.
That's right.
Say that again,
rebound
Coach.
Rebound wins championships.
Ooh. Say that again. Say that again, Coach.
Offense sells tickets. Defense wins games.
Shout out.
Rebounds wins championships.
That's fire. Hey, so listen. Now we got to get this. If they don't have this, we're going to definitely have to put in, you know, some motion on this. Is there a statue of you, you know, there yet, or you know, you got in the postseason awards?
So she doesn't have her jersey.
If I don't hang my jersey, how they going to give me? Yeah. A
well, we're going to have to correct.
We got to correct that. We got to make a call.
So they ain't got
that.
No postseason awards, no Hall of Fame.
Ain't nothing. They got my picture. They got a picture of me in the practice.
I'm putting an asterisk by this right here.
Come on, Tennessee.
Come on, University of Tennessee now. All right, so were you able to play professionally after University of Tennessee?
Actually, I did. I went into the first Bible Women's Professional Athletes, the WBL.
WBL.
Which is what
WBL.
I did rattle that off. I did rattle that part off now, Coach.
Excuse me?
I did rattle that one off in your resume. I remember that part. I didn't miss that.
Yes. And so I was drafted by the Minnesota Phillies.
Minnesota Phillies.
How was that?
Wow. So
Minneapolis.
Okay.
There were teams in Minnesota, St. Louis, California, New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Iowa, Nebraska.
Did y'all fly?
New Orleans.
Where
else? We had a total of 16 teams. Actually, we have more than the WBL has right now.
They got more than the WNBA.
The WNBA only got
12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had more teams than they did.
Did you watch the draft, Coach?
I sure did.
What you think?
They got it right. The only thing I didn't appreciate was them drafting them foreign players. When we got all these players here.
Right.
Oh, they already don't have enough roster space. They're giving it to foreigners when, you know, they need to be giving these kids here a chance.
Again, it's politics, right?
That's politics at its finest right
there.
That's
poison, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So how did you end up being a coach at the University of Maine?
Well, when the WBL folded, I started 2 years in Minnesota, and I hurt my knee.
Okay.
So I was never 100%. They put me on waivers, and St. Louis picked me up. And when St. Louis picked me up, I had my best year. I was all pro and everything. And then the league folds, and I said, okay, I'm going to end my career on a good note. I played in the pro league. I made all pro. So I had planned on coming back home and teaching, and coaching high school and teaching. But I stayed in St. Louis an extra year. And I got a call from this coach that I knew. She was an official, and then she was also the coach at Colorado College.
Okay.
So whenever I went out to Colorado Springs at Olympic Training Center, we trained out there. We always use their facility.
Okay, okay.
And so she remembered me when she was in Georgia, and she was an official, and she said, what do you want to do when you finish playing? I said, well, I want to coach. So she went to the Final Four that year and asked everybody, do y'all know where I can find Trish Roberts? Where's Trish Roberts? They said, well, she was playing pro in St. Louis. So she ran out into Pat. Pat gave her my mom's address. And she sent a letter to my home, and my mom sent it to me. And I went to Central Michigan and interviewed, and she gave me the job. She said, I remembered you saying you wanted to coach. And so since I really wasn't doing anything, I had taken a year off. The league had folded. I was still in St. Louis trying to figure it out. I went to Central Michigan, and I was there for a couple of years. And then she got the head job at the University of Illinois. She took us to Illinois. Her took her staff to Illinois.
Okay.
And I was there for a year in Illinois, the Big Ten. And then this black coach was the head coach of the University of Wisconsin. And I thought, I'm gonna go over here and work with this black coach. So I worked with her a year, then she got fired. I'm like, oh Lord, I should have stayed at Illinois.
So I have a question, Coach, and it's kind of off the subject because I love traveling and seeing pretty places. Is Maine as beautiful as they say?
I love Maine. I really did love Maine. I experienced a lot of outdoorsy type things that I normally wouldn't have.
Me too.
I didn't have really any kind of social life. That's why I put so much focus on basketball, and we were pretty successful up there.
You were. You were good.
And
we were the student section. The football team was the student section.
Really?
Yeah, we used to yell.
Oh man! Imagine a bunch of football players cheering for the basketball.
We were so
dating some of my basketball players.
Oh,
really? I didn't know about that.
Oh yeah,
Coach, I gotta hit him with that. That's that sad right there.
I might have heard a rumor or two.
Some of the basketball players were dating them too.
Yeah, well, that's college.
Were you there when I cooked dinner for the basketball team?
Yeah, so let me tell you. So this is what happened. You came into the training room, and I said, Coach, you know how to cook? And you kind of gave me this look like, I'm born from Georgia. I'm a black woman from Georgia. Of course I know how to cook. I think I specifically said, do you know how to cook greens? And again, you specifically said, yeah, I know how to get down. So I think I invited myself to dinner there for you to cook for us. And I think it was a few, it ended up being a few of the football team and a couple of basketball players. And we went there and broke bread with you and saw your medal, saw some pictures, memorabilia, and it was awesome. It was really awesome.
Wow, that's good.
I remember that.
Yeah. That was, in fact, one of the things I was going to say is, you know, because we thought about when we were doing this show, was like, I was wondering, you know, what did you do at Maine? Because, like I said, I hung out with the football team, you know, and you were there coaching.
I didn't do anything.
Oh my goodness!
I coached. I couldn't find BET. BET wasn't there.
Oh, I know. Look, we had big VHS tapes of BET.
And remember, they had those blue laws where the malls closed on Sundays.
That's right.
Oh, okay. I remember the blue laws.
I mean, it was really boring up there.
Yeah, it was at times. It was at times.
I would go to these little small towns, and they had these little quaint towns. I would drive into these little quiet towns and go to one of their little restaurants and get me some lobster or something like that, real quiet.
Right.
But everybody knew who I was.
Right.
All of our home games was you know, Maine had no pro sports. All of our home basketball games were televised.
As was football. Yeah, and we were the only thing in the state.
Wow.
Yeah, we're the only Division I institution in the state. So yeah, I get that. I get that.
Wow.
So after Maine, tell me, after Maine, where did you go? Took us from Maine to your first professional job in coaching.
Well, when I left Maine, I got the head job at the University of Michigan.
Okay.
So, the worst career move I could have made.
Why?
It was a career killer for me, to be honest. I was there when the Fab Five was there.
Okay.
Wow.
And I had a Kevin White. He had left and gone to Tulane.
Right. That's right.
And that was another reason I wanted to leave, because you know, when a new AD come in, they want to bring their own people, and I just didn't connect with that new AD. I didn't connect with him at all.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
And so Kevin told me, he said, that's going to be a tough sale at Michigan. And he told me, because they don't care anything except for about football and men's basketball.
Mm.
And he told me that. But no, I'm going to Big Ten. I'm going to be for Michigan what Pat Summitt is to Tennessee. I'm going to build that program. You know, I had this big head. I've been successful at Maine.
No, coach, not that. You. You mid-major. Ain't got the big head.
I did. Mid-major is totally different than Power Five.
Wow.
So I go there, and they had won 3 games the year before in the Big Ten. I had to get rid of a couple of players. That didn't go well. It took me about 3 years to start getting players in, but the administration was getting a little antsy. And then by my 4th year, I finally had gotten my team together. My big players were the one of the best players out of Chicago. She was 6'4". She blew her knee out, and that was our rebounder. That was our, you know, that was our player in the middle.
Right.
And then I had another great recruiting class, because before I got to Michigan, Pat Summitt had a pipeline.
Right.
Every number one player out of Michigan went
right.
to Tennessee.
Right, right.
And she told me, she said, "Trish, as long as you're at Michigan," she said, "I promise you, I will not recruit Michigan anymore."
Really?
Respect.
So
that's
I was
respect.
Able to get some of those good players. You know, I missed out getting the Miss Michigan basketball a couple of times, but I had some runner up. And then my last year there, I had recruited the Miss Michigan basketball player. Didn't get the culture, but I thought she was on the roster.
Wow.
All right, Coach.
And, I kept hearing rumbles about, Trish, they're going to get rid of you. You know, I kept hearing there's going to be changes at Michigan. And so I just jumped ahead. I'm like, I ain't getting fired by nobody. So I turned in my resignation, because at that time I had been talking to the people in Atlanta about the ABL.
Okay.
Okay.
And I ended up getting the job on that pro team, the ABL.
Okay.
So when I resigned from Michigan, I already had that job in the ABL.
Smart.
All right, Coach. This segment we call Sports Jeopardy, all right?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to fly through it.
We're going to fly through it. I got 2 quick ones for you. I had one written down, but I wrote another one down. It just came to mind. I'm going to drop this one on you right quick.
Okay.
Who are you picking, Swoops or Clark?
Swoops.
Listen,
the only reason I'm picking Swoops is because she's a proven winner. I don't know what Clark's going to do.
So here's my question.
But I know what Swoops did.
Right, right. Well, here's my question/statement, and then I'll ask you my other one. To me, Swoops is more all-around player than Caitlin Clark.
Exactly.
So you get more with her.
Right.
Exactly.
You're getting both ends
outside
of the
court. Shot, Caitlin low plus, post game.
Right, right.
Yeah, everything.
And she's going to play defense.
Right.
Caitlin Clark didn't play that. So, what could you do with today's WNBA, Coach? What you think you can do with her? Think you can
at
play?
At my prime?
Yes.
If I was in my prime?
Yes.
Oh, I can hang with her, because they always told me that I was before my time.
Ooh.
They
nice.
Did. You know, I was tall. I was quick. I could jump. They didn't have the 3-point shot, but I was an accurate mid-range shooter. I posted up. I was great rebound to put back.
Which is impressive.
Well, we heard the numbers.
Your scoring average is more impressive because you didn't have a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your numbers through the roof. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this. You made the comment earlier that you were really slim. I guess you had to find yourself put on, you had to put on a few pounds to kind of, get down there and hold your own down there on, in the paint.
I tried. The most I weighed in college was 160, soaking wet.
That ain't bad though.
No.
That's
so,
not bad.
So what do you think about this past year's college basketball season?
Oh, it was off the chain. I'm just so happy to see that we, who love basketball and play basketball, we knew that we had a product. Right. And it took this one girl, one white girl,
Caitlin. Yep.
To elevate our game to where it should have been years ago.
Mm.
And Caitlin did a great job because she was in an environment where they had sellout crowds. And when you have you're playing in a college town where you're selling out every home game.
Yes.
Of course, the media is going to want to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Coach. Okay, go ahead.
And so with her bringing the media attention, and then you got Angel Reese at LSU, the same thing. They're selling out LSU.
Right.
I mean, it was just dynamic. It was just good for women's basketball.
That's right.
I asked Coach Boston this. Well, we talked about this before you called. And they're saying that with South Carolina women's basketball winning the championship and undefeated again, you know, shout out to Dawn Staley. But the talk of the year is Caitlin Clark. Do you think that she legitimizes being talked about over the champions?
I was so upset about that because South Carolina had just won the national championship.
That's what I asked.
And all of the media coverage, TV, you know, everything was following Caitlin Clark.
Right. That's right.
I'm listening, Coach.
In defeat.
Coach, get your... I'm listening, Coach. You got the mic. You got the floor. Go ahead. Give us a... Please, expound. Please.
And even now, everywhere you look is, you know, Caitlin Clark commercials, Caitlin Clark this, Caitlin Clark that. Where are the South Carolina players?
Preach.
Right.
They are the ones that won the national championship, not Caitlin Clark. And I don't want to take anything away from Caitlin Clark because what she did for women's basketball is phenomenal. But come on, you've got to give South Carolina the flowers.
Spread the love.
Preach, Coach.
It's a lot of business out there. Come on, network. Spread the love.
But soccer, and then Dawn Staley needs to be a topic of discussion.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, because she's done is legendary.
I talked to Coach about that before you called, and we kind of had a discussion. So here's my other one. You're familiar with Camila Cardoza. How would you guard her?
I wouldn't. That girl was 6'7". I'm 6'1". I'm a small forward, power forward type, you know.
But if you had to coach your player, what would you tell your player? How would you tell your player to play her? How would you tell your player? What advice?
Just try to push her up the lane. Just try to not let her get the ball on the block.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Just beat her to the block.
If you were on this year's Iowa team, would Caitlin Clark have a championship?
Of course.
Shout out. Coach, you got another talk, man. Coach.
Because she would have a rebounder.
Right.
Mm.
And we said that's what
we said.
We said that. We said that.
That's right.
Wow. And the both teams that they lost against, LSU was bigger and South Carolina was bigger.
They hurt them on the board.
Exactly.
But you know what, Coach? I'm going to say this. UConn should have beat them.
That controversial call.
That
was
a controversial
call.
That was a bad
tough
call.
At the end of the game, that's a tough call
at
to make.
That time. You can't call that.
And then we don't know if Paige would have made that shot either.
Facts.
That's true. Touche. All right. I like this. Who was the best player you ever played against? The toughest, like to the toughest guard, college, Olympics, or pro? Which one? Was the toughest player you ever played against?
First toughest player I ever played against is the late, great Lucy Harris.
Lucy Harris Stewart.
Wow.
And don't tell me you don't know her.
Whoops.
Please don't tell me you don't know her.
I'm sorry, Coach. I don't know her.
Tell us.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Coach. Why you know what's up? We get it. We get the womp-womp. I'm sorry.
Who so she played at Delta State. They won 3 national championships.
Oh, yeah. I do
they
know what you're talking about.
Jack just furnished supported financially the documentary on her that just won Academy Award last year.
Wow.
And she was featured in that documentary, and before it came out, she passed away in February.
Man, shout out to her. I apologize. Apologies.
Well, now that we know.
She was on the first Olympic team.
Really?
She made the first basket in the Olympics when women's was incepted into the Olympics. She made the first basket.
This is heavy.
In Olympic history.
This is heavy.
Oh my goodness.
This is why we have good guests like this on and off the field, y'all, because we find out things, intricate details that nobody knew about. We cover both sides of the field. That's all I'm saying.
So, Coach, tell me, what's your favorite athlete to watch outside of women's basketball?
It's probably Serena Williams.
That's interesting.
Do you play tennis?
I did in high school, and I played 1 year in college.
Okay.
How were you?
Well, I had the number one spot in high school my junior and senior year. I played the number one spot. Wow. And then in college, I think I played the third spot.
I played I played tennis in high school too, Coach. I never got any closer than the number three seed. I couldn't beat the one and two for nothing. I tried. And I used to go at them every day too. To the point I got tennis elbow and I had to stop playing.
Wow.
Yeah. I look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. So, favorite chapter in the Bible. And this is probably my favorite question to ask you because, I'm a fellow believer. So
yeah.
What's your favorite chapter in the Bible? And if you can tell me why, if you don't mind expounding a little bit on it.
Well, I'm going to tell you my favorite book, and then I'll tell you my favorite chapter. My favorite book in the Bible is Proverbs, because okay. Proverbs offers a lot of advice on many areas of life.
Right.
Talks a lot about morals.
Right.
That stuff like that. So when I was younger, Proverbs was probably the verse or the chapter that I was in the most. And then my favorite chapter is Matthew 24.
Oh, okay. I thought your favorite chapter was also in Proverbs.
No, my favorite chapter is Matthew.
Why?
And maybe because my mother used to talk about it all the time.
The 24th chapter of Matthew.
Uh-huh.
That's a heavy chapter.
If my dear
told you, that's a heavy chapter. The 24th chapter,
my
dear know what she talking about then.
She know it.
My dear was fire baptized, wasn't she?
You was.
I know what I'm talking about. When if somebody say Matthew chapter 24, they faith, man, that's a heavy chapter. My dear know
it's
what she
scary,
always
too.
Scared. My deal was in them trenches.
Matthew 24.
You need to read
it.
I'm going to read it tonight.
Talk about false prophets, which I say today, Donald Trump is, I think he's the Antichrist.
No, listen, Coach, listen. The only reason I know he's not the Antichrist is because he's going to come out of Europe. The Bible says he's going to come out from over there in Europe. So Trump ain't from over there. He too light-skinned. He'll be way dark.
You're right about that. Talk about wars and rumors of wars.
Right. Man, my dear knew what she was talking about, bro.
So, Coach, tell me.
Earthquakes in diverse places.
Let her preach, man. Let her preach. Preach, Coach.
We got more hatred in the United States now than ever. Read Matthew 24. That's right now.
You need to read that, brother.
We got to read that.
That's heavy.
Read Matthew 24. That's a done deal.
That's heavy. That's a heavy chapter.
That's a done deal. Coach, who's your favorite Lady Vol you ever watched play other than yourself?
Well, there's been a lot of greats, but my favorite is Tamika Catchings. And I guess
remember her.
Yes, she's the good one that is the least talked about.
Okay.
she's just a great kid. She's humble. She was a hard worker. She played both things. She wasn't flashy. You know, if she scored and made a great move or something, you didn't see her flexing like you do Candace Parker or, and Shamika, she was one of my bad, but Tamika Catchings, she's my favorite.
Okay.
When you said Hosecar, was that Tamika Hosecar?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
She's another one of my favorites. Five. But because okay. I have a relationship with Tamika Catchings, I have a closer relationship with Tamika. She's my favorite.
Okay.
All right, Coach, I got one for you. Pick any four females during your era to play against South Carolina. So, in other words, the squad of South Carolina, pick you. You got their five. Now, you pick you and four others that you can get to play against that squad.
Do they have to be from the United States?
No. No. Hey, you, no. Your choice.
No, it's your squad.
Okay. The first one would be the great late Lucy Harris.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nancy Lieberman.
Okay.
Ooh. Ann Meyer.
Okay.
And Uliana Simonova. She's the 7'2" girl from Russia.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched her play.
That's your squad against South Carolina. Y'all
worked a camp with Nancy Lieberman for 2 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In New Jersey. Hall of Fame basketball camp.
Hey, yeah. Coach Trish, that squad sound like it might be South Carolina.
It would be South Carolina.
MVP of y'all that squad, Coach?
Say what?
Who's the MVP of that squad? Your squad you just named.
The MVP of this squad would probably be Lucy.
Oh, wow,
that's respect. Wow. I got it. We got it. Listen.
Y'all need to go and read that documentary.
I'm gonna do that.
It's called Queen of Court.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Yeah, we done dropped the ball on that one. We need to find out.
Listen, that's crazy.
You know what? If I find it, I'm going to send it to you, Lance.
Okay, do that.
I'm going to see if I can find it.
Wow.
So, all right, here's a question. Jordan or LeBron?
Ooh.
Come on, Coach.
I can't.
Come on, Coach.
Two different eras.
Fast?
Two different eras. How can you even ask somebody to do that?
If you had to, Coach. That's all. We just wanted you to go to the extreme just for a second. Just if you had to, Coach. Listen, we need this from you. This is the first of everything on every level. So you can't. You gotta take a side. You gotta give us.
You know what? LeBron is married to a distant cousin of mine.
Oh, Coach, come on.
If I say Jordan, that's not going to be right. If I say LeBron,
oh my goodness.
Then, all these years that I love Jordan, I can't.
I can appreciate that.
All right. You know what? When
they're different players.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
I will say this. LeBron is a lot more, he plays a lot more physical. Jordan plays a lot more finesse.
True.
Right.
True.
Right. I agree.
But a different kind of play. That the end results are the same.
Right.
But
wait a minute.
The different
they're
way
not the
they.
Same. They. Jordan got six now, Coach, and LeBron been there what nine? How many times LeBron went to the championships, and he only got how
three.
Many?
Three.
Three. LeBron got three.
So the results not the everyone Jordan.
Well,
went
if you
to,
go by results. If you go by results, you would have to say George.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to get out of you, Coach. That's all I wanted, Coach. I appreciate that, Coach. That's all I'm saying. Be bold. All right, I got one for you. Listen, where were you, and it's kind of a nostalgia one, where were you when Dr. King was assassinated?
I was at home. I remember because my mama came in there crying.
Really?
I remember the exact words she said. What are we going to do now?
Do you mind asking me asking how old you were?
I know. I was in the eighth grade.
Okay.
And I can 68, tell you, I was in the eighth grade, because so that means I was about 13.
Mm-hmm.
My mom took my brother and my sister to Atlanta to view his body lying in state.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I just remember standing in that long line, and I remember he was laying up there, and you could see his whole body. They had like a glass top,
I saw that picture.
They put the glass top on it.
Mm,
I saw that picture. And I thought that was weird because I hadn't seen that many deceased people before, but I knew I never saw their feet, you know, but the casket came up to, you know, their waist. And I just thought it was odd that the casket, I remember those black shiny shoes. And later on in my adult life, I went to the Martin Luther King Center. And, you know, a museum, you can see a lot of his artifacts. And I saw those same shoes in that case.
Oh, wow. I saw
one of his suits in those same shoes. I know they had to be those same shoes.
Wow.
They don't bury people in shoes anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly where I was.
Coach, what would be the first thing you would do if you were elected president?
I want to hear this answer.
By executive order? I will tax them billionaires.
You will what?
I will put the tax back on them billionaires so it can relieve some of the pressure off the middle class and the poor people.
That's a power move.
Who are paying all the taxes. Billionaires don't have to pay no taxes.
That's a power move right there, Coach.
Of course it's a power move. People are suffering. People can't even buy groceries half the time, pay their bills, and the rich keep getting richer.
That's a good answer. Now, we asked our last guest what he would do, and he said that he'd make all black people be treated like they were white.
I don't want to be white. I am who God made me to be. I am beautifully and wonderfully made in God's image.
That's right. All right.
That's right.
All right, Coach, this is a good one. What is your favorite destination that basketball has taken you, you know, as a coach or a player? Like, what's the most favorite place you've been that basketball has taken you?
Oh, dear. I mean, I've been to so many countries, and I've been to every state in the United States except four.
Wow.
And I do plan on visiting them. That's part of my bucket list. I haven't been to the North and South Dakotas, and I haven't been to Wyoming. And Utah. Well, I went through the airport in Utah, but I don't count that.
It says something, though. Is there one of them that just stands out like, oh, man, you know, any place you just said, you just caught a moment, you was like, wow. You just absorbed the moment like, I'm really here in this moment. Is there a place like that?
Probably Shannon, Ireland.
What part of Ireland?
Shannon, Ireland.
Wow, I bet it's beautiful. Ireland was beautiful in Ireland.
It is beautiful in Ireland.
Wow.
Who, Coach, what's the toughest crowd you've ever had as a player? I'm assuming, is that the Ole Miss with the orange?
Ole Miss, right, that's it.
That's what you were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
All right, Coach, we're going to get you out of here on this one. This is the last. Well, I got two more because I...
Okay.
And Coach may have some, but I got this. What would the name of your Hollywood movie be? If you were in a movie, you shot a movie, what would the name of your, if you had it to give, what would the name of your Hollywood movie be? The story of your life, if you based it on that.
The Forgotten Lady Ball.
Wow. Wait a minute. Is that singular? Like V-O-L, right?
V-O-L.
Yes.
The Forgotten Fire Lady Ball. You know, that could be a book too.
I think AD's
gonna be getting a phone call. I think that AD's gonna
Listen,
be getting a phone
Coach,
call.
We gotta put some push behind you because you are definitely an unsung hero. And I know Coach Boston got something for you, but just before I turn you loose, on the off the field side, any advice you would give up and coming, you know, young ladies as yourself, you look at them and you can see yourself in the mirror, like you're looking in a mirror. Any advice?
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of young ladies that play the game and love the game. First thing I would tell them that if you love the game of basketball, you got to be passionate about it, and you got to be intentional in your work ethic. Mm. And I don't know, you got to work harder than others. I mean, you got to spend more time in the gym. And if that is your passion, I always said, and I always been told, if you find your passion, then you'll find your purpose in life.
Wow.
That's facts.
Coach.
So what show or movie have you watched too many times?
Oh, my God.
I missed those.
If you ask any of my players from Maine, they'd be like, oh. Because we had to watch it at least once a year on a bus trip. It's called Imitation of Life.
Imitation of Life.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, I've watched it myself.
Yeah.
Isn't that black and white?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's two versions of it. One in black and white, and then they redid it years later. It's another one in color.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
But Imitation of Life.
So who?
I still watch that movie today, and I still watch cry, it today?
Oh, my goodness.
Even though I know what's going to happen.
Who would win a steel cage wrestling match between former President Obama and former President Donald Trump?
Obama!
Of course
you go. Keep up with him. All he got to do is.
Trump out of shape.
Trump is out of shape. All he got to do is throw a punch and back away. Trump can't keep moving. And then trip him up. You trip him up, you know he can't get up.
Who would win a tongue twister contest between Mike Tyson and Shannon Sharp?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, Shannon Sharp. Mike Tyson talks too low and he talks too soft.
Oh my goodness. Shout out to Coach for the Mike Tyson impression.
That old big loud mouth Shannon Sharp. Oh, he'd win.
Coach, you do impressions too, huh? You got that Mike Tyson impression.
Coach, the very last question is would you do anything different?
Oh, yeah. You know, I do think that everything that happens in life is ordered. It's ordained by God. So all of the mistakes you've made, all the highs, all the lows, all the valleys, mountaintop experiences you've had. But the only thing that I would do a little bit different is I would have fought a little bit harder for the job that I walked away from.
Okay.
I should have just trusted God a little bit more.
Mm.
I think I would have been in coaching a lot longer.
Wow. That's amazing. We said it at the same time, right? That's amazing. Let me say this. I got to say this. Your answer, the last answer to his question, is the epitome of our show, because you just said you made a decision off the field or off the court that affected your on-the-court progress.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't trust God and you didn't commit when you should have. And because of that, you suffered on the court. So your answer is the epitome of what we talk about on the field and off the field show, where we cover both sides of the ball, as we say. And so that was perfect. Like, that's, man, listen, this has been
an honor,
a Hall of Famer, a future, hey, listen, a future statue holder. Y'all hear us over there, University of Tennessee? We need some Hall of Fame awards. We need some jerseys being hung in the rafters. Come on now.
Come on, the Forgotten Lady Vols. Come on,
we
Vols.
We need the Forgotten Lady Vols.
Come on, Vols.
We need to start a Facebook page and call it the Forgotten Lady Vol and get a following up. And we need to go to University of Tennessee and we need to get you straight. They got to do you better than they did you.
Still holds records today.
Facts.
Yeah, 40-something years and all those great players.
All Parker, those Tennessee players, all those years.
They haven't even come close to touching those records.
Still the all-time leading scorer, single season
most
scorer.
Points in the game.
Most points 51, in the game.
Most 51.
The 51.
Coach, we might need to ride to Georgia and meet you in person. I'm telling you, I might need to meet you. You're a superstar. It's an honor. You're a queen in the court, and we honor you. We thank God for you. Yeah, you know, it's been awesome interview.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me on. It's been fun.
Well, we don't never do no one time now. We always circle back. So keep your line hot, because we'll be spinning back on you.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Thanks for your time, Coach. It's been on and off the field.
Thank you. And good luck with the show.
Thank you, Coach.
All right.
Patricia Trish Roberts, y'all, in the building. Take care,
bye-bye.
Coach.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was good stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
That's big time.
Where my hand clap at, bro?
Man, you need a lot of hand claps for that one. My goodness.
We're going to go there. We're going to give another.
My goodness. You know, I watched her. I watched her for, you know, she was in Maine the same time I was there playing football.
Wow.
And I watched her and her teams play. But, you know, from afar, I just never really took it, you know, her being there, you know, anything other than she was a coach. But to know what she was, I had no idea she had that type of resume.
That's correct.
When I saw it, I'm telling you, when I was in the training room, I just simply was like, hey, can you cook?
Dude, she is a super...
Big time. When you talk about the roots, you talk about, okay, women's college basketball is at its peak right now.
Right, but the founders and the...
She's a founder.
Right. She's Rushmore.
She's a Mount Rushmore, a founder of basketball for the women's game.
Right. You know what made my jaw drop when she told us about Pat Summitt playing and being a coach.
But you know, the game at that time, you got to understand, was kind of like an afterthought. You know, that's why Title IX came up, because women's basketball was not really thought of. You could hire a player coach.
But I don't know if they did they do a 30 for 30 on Pat Summitt?
Yes.
I wonder if they mentioned the fact that she was actually playing.
She did.
They did.
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never knew that.
But they don't. Dude, obviously, they don't focus on that part.
But that's phenomenal.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And she was smart enough to recruit the people she played against.
I would, wouldn't you?
That's.
Hey, that's SEC. That's SEC bread. Bro. That's how they do it. They recruit
the
hard.
The toughest conference in sports. The toughest
it
conference.
It means more. It just means more.
It means more, bro. That's amazing. That was an amazing interview, bro.
Wow. Yeah. Now I feel blessed, like I said, to have known been able to broke bread with her, have watched her games, you know, talk with her, seen her on campus, you know, I like I said, and then know now that, you know, I was in the presence of greatness.
Facts. And you know what? Something else she said that, and I didn't want it to get away, but it's too much. She said she was with the Fab Five on campus with the Fab Five.
She was the women's coach.
You just on campus with the Fab Five. You just say that. You just say, oh yeah, I was with the Fab Five. Wait a minute. No, we need to talk about that. I meant to, like, I wanted to pick her brain on that. Like, that's greatness, dude.
No, I know, man. It doesn't get any bigger than that.
Bro, sports is the best, like.
Queens of the court.
Queens of the court, bro.
Yeah, she's definitely queen of the court.
We got past, we got present coming, and we got future coming.
Yeah, Trish Roberts for the past. One of the best you're going to find.
I can't wait to see who we get for the present, bro.
I'm working on it.
I'm super excited about that.
I'm working on it.
LB, man. Hey, LB, man. Them trenches getting them. Hey, he's getting them juggles, bro.
I'm working on it.
And we interview them, too. When they come across here, they're going to get interviewed.
That's right.
Up one side and down the other, man.
That's right.
So, look, man, I'm glad we had a chance to do that. This has been our second episode, Queens of the Court, Past, Present, and Future. Like I said, this is not a one-time thing. This is something.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it going.
We incorporate it annually, and we're gonna do it for the men. You know what I mean? Got to
every sport.
We got to every sport. Yeah. Coach don't like boxing. I'm a huge boxing.
I'm just saying I didn't like boxing. I just not. It's just not at the top of my list.
I'm a huge boxing fan, bro.
It's just not at the top of my list.
But see,
especially
here's the
now.
Thing. I want you to find a boxer though. But see, they ain't the top of your list. I got to find a boxer.
Okay, all right. You want a boxer? I got somebody who I went to high school with, and junior high school with, and elementary school with, who was in Vegas working in boxing.
See how easy you do that. See how easy do that, y'all.
So if you want to talk
y'all
to him, I'm sure we can get him on.
Do y'all see who I'm on set with?
I got him on Facebook. He's taking pictures with Pernell Whitaker and all them guys. Yeah,
I need that. Y'all see why I'm linked up with this dude, right? All right, he bring him in here, and we
got boxing covered.
We got boxing covered too. We cover everything over here, man. So listen, you want what you got? Some last words, Coach. You got anything you want to wrap up with? Anything?
Look, I'm hopeful that this basketball trend will continue for the women, and I'm ready for the WNBA to start.
When's the first?
I would imagine it's within a month or so, because you know, men's playoffs is about to start, so it starts right after that.
I can't wait for, I think
so, about maybe 2 months. 2 months,
I think, something like that. I can't wait for to see the matchups, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially with the story.
First round is always kind of exciting. Yeah. But deep down, you kind of know who's going to win the first round. Maybe one team of a division may upset. But for the most part, the powerhouses, they advance
right
in the NBA.
But you're going to see a difference, though, because of the different talent bringing. I want to see how Reese and them do. I want to see how Angel, when they match up against Caitlin, though, man. You know, I got to see that.
New York Liberty game, Caitlin Clark and Ionescu. From last year, from Oregon. That she might be sniper. The highest rated game, too.
Hey, Ionescu a sniper, bro.
Wait till you see the ratings for that game.
She a sniper, bro. She can shoot.
Wait when Kayla goes to Las Vegas. Hottest ticket in town.
I want to see how good of a shooter she is when she starts messing up with like Ionescu.
She'll do it. I mean, look at the other women's players that have done well shooting-wise and gone on to the WNBA. Have they struggled in that way? So why was she? The game is designed for shooters.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's a shooter.
That she is, my friend. So I'm like you. I can't wait for, you know, I'm interested to see how I'm going to be front and center. WNBA. Never thought I would. I remember it was a time, let's be honest, I was flipping. We've no disrespect.
I watched it the first six, seven seasons, and that kind of tapered off. I didn't watch it as much.
Right. It wasn't as hot as it is now.
Yeah. But I'm watching it this year.
They the new flavor, boy.
Yeah, I'm watching it this year.
Shout out to the WNBA.
Go ahead, girls.
Everything they doing. Proud of y'all, queens.
Yes, sir.
Future queens of the court.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
There you go. You better watch. Hey, that ain't me, y'all. The LB. It's all love. Listen, we just want to come on here, man. This is On and Off the Court Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. This has been your host on the field.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, aka Steeler Nation. Here we go.
We in the building. This has been your boy Off the Field, Mr. You Better Live. Man, this has been an awesome time, aka Mr. Football, you know it all, aka Culture. We back in the building. Listen, we rocking out. This has been episode number 2, Queens of the Court. We out of here.
Peace. So it's an hour and she called at 5:30.